From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for October 21st, 2022. Checking the calendar, the NBA regular season is underway and your Milwaukee Bucks have three home games this week. And the home opener is Saturday night with the Houston Rockets. This Sunday, the up-and-down Packers travel to Washington, D.C. for a game with the team formerly known as the Washington Football Team, which is a better name than the Commanders. I'm not sure if this is a protest or a celebration, but 15,000 Ukrainians have decided to have a mass orgy if Russia deploys nuclear weapons. The last orgy I attended, kissing your butt goodbye, didn't qualify as an orgy activity. You got to draw the line somewhere. A man in Vermont has died after reportedly crashing into a cow while traveling at over 100 miles an hour. And to answer your next question, the cow is not going to be all right. I can't explain this next one, but Newport Beach woman had 23 contact lenses removed from one eye. Apparently 22 contact lenses in one eye is all right, but 23, that's just ridiculous. As we know, with the passing of Queen Elizabeth, the British Empire must replace the Queen on their currency with King Charles. But they're getting some pushback from Australia. The Aussies want Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, on their money. As Steve used to say, crikey. And staying in Australia, it's our goofy headline of the week. Your future sex robot could be hacked and programmed to kill you. No, that's not from the National Enquirer, but from the technology school at Deakin University in Australia. Getting killed by a sex robot, as if my life isn't hard enough. On the podcast today, we have Steve Giles, Adam Bailey, Joel Dreesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Kyle Tedding.
As always, Max, tough to follow that. A great week, however, for the markets. The NASDAQ up 5.2%, closing today at 10,860. The S&P up 4.7%, closing today at the bell at 3753. The Dow Jones Industrial Average adding 749 points today to close at the bell at 31,083. That's up 4.9% for the week. For the year, however, still a pretty rough patch. The NASDAQ down 30.2%, including dividends. The S&P down 20.3%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 13.1%. For the week, a pretty big jump in the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury, closing the week at 4.21%. We had started the week at 4.01%. And of course, you know, considering where we were at the end of last year, it's been a pretty challenging year overall for bonds. Adam, maybe that's a good place to start. I know you have had a number of questions from clients, a number of conversations, kind of looking at the challenges investors have faced this year, trying to put it in some context, perhaps.
Yeah, it's been a volatile year, both in stocks and bonds. And that's one of the things that kind of adds to the pain or the sting of your June or your September statement is to see both stocks and bonds down simultaneously. And there's only been like a handful of times in market history where we've had stocks and bonds down in these measures, right? And you know, I'm kind of like a student of market history. I just like to go back and say, all right, like the last five times we've had something like this, what happened and what came next? Because what comes next really does help to dictate strategy. And you look back at history and okay, fine, we've had couple times like this in the 70s, again in the 80s, and then 1994. And for me, that's a really good apples-to-apples comparison to, you know, the environment that we have today. But I'll let you be the judge. So back in 94, we had a relatively tight labor market. We had rising wages. We had rising inflation. And so much so that the Federal Reserve got spooked and raised rates seven times overnight and caught everybody off guard. And you know, back in 94, bonds lost 8%, right? It was the worst year in bonds, I think, since the Great Depression. And stocks lost money, too. And what I find interesting, though, is what came next. Because in 95, the Federal Reserve got their way. They cooled off an overheating economy, and had you just had patience and held on to your BAA bond fund, you would have made more than 20% in your high-quality intermediate-term bond funds in 95. Had you held on to your S&P 500 stock fund, you would have made more than 30% in 95. And by the way, my message isn't like you're going to make 30% next year. Don't put me on the record for that. my message is, you know, the last time around we've been in something like this, patience really was the best strategy.
Yeah, and I think the key is we're in this environment in which inflation has been the problem. The Fed clearly has been the cause of so much of the market reaction. You know, as you point out, on both the stock and the bond side, I'm fond of telling clients, for a balanced investor, this is the worst year we've seen since the Great Depression. Not going back to the financial crisis, not going back to 94. 94 was rough, but for the balanced investor, this is the worst we've ever seen in most of our lifetimes. And so as you kind of think about, okay, well, how have I stomached this? How have I been able to get through? Well, remember that, you know, all of those periods had recoveries. They took different times. Certainly you quote the 94 to 95 kind of recovery period. Yeah, okay, we're not going to suggest that that's the environment that comes next. Some of this is because it's not so easy to just say, okay, at the turn of the calendar, all of a sudden the story changes. Let's remember that, you know, the inflation problem didn't just start January 1st of this year. You go back to, you know, really this time period last year when we started to see prices spike. At points in time, oil prices on a year-over-year basis back in June were 80 or 90% higher than they were a year before. It's no wonder inflation was running as hot as it is. I want to point out, when you look at a barrel of oil right now, it's within a couple of dollars of where it was a year ago. And so it makes sense that the headline inflation number is starting to come down. It makes sense that when you see what the chair of the San Francisco Federal Reserve said this week, that maybe we don't want to cause this unforced policy error, right? This reaction to inflation, because we are starting to see a turning of the tide. And maybe that sets up for that exact environment you're talking about, Adam. And yeah, it's not, okay, January 1, we're going to flip the script and now it's off to the races. Maybe it takes till spring. Maybe it takes a little while longer. But I think it does speak to the opportunity that's being set up by the environment we're in.
And I think you got to remember that the market looks forward. It's not so much what has happened, but what could happen in the future. And at some point, we do turn the calendar and the market looks ahead and say, okay, well, what's coming down the pike next year, the next 6 months, the next 12 months? And you start to see inflation coming down perhaps next year. You start to see some of the supply issues that have plagued us the past 2 years start to unwind themselves. And that could very well impact earnings going forward.
And has. I mean, I think certainly you look at revenue numbers right now for the S&P 500. We're 20% through earnings season for the third quarter. Revenue largely on track. Unfortunately, as cost of revenue has gone up because of input prices, as that inflationary force has made its way to bottom lines, we've seen earnings that are significantly below where we thought they'd be 3-4 months ago. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a one-time consequence that if you keep that input cost high, okay, well, the comparison point a year from now gets easy again. And so it's actually setting up for an earnings picture a quarter, two quarters, a year from now that looks more favorable, not less favorable. When you look at what that means for the S&P 500, even in a week in which markets were up 5%, we'll call it, you're still talking about a forward P on the S&P at 16.1. And so just about any way you measure it, that's a pretty attractive valuation for stocks. Of course, all of this still depends on that one key piece, which is, okay, how long are earnings going to be impacted by that inflationary measure? Steve, I think worth pointing out, maybe the inflation piece isn't all bad news. We're seeing some benefits. We saw last week with a big cost of living increase because of high inflation for Social Security. Some other areas where perhaps we're getting some benefits from higher inflation as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. It was just announced this week that for those who have company-sponsored 401k savings plans, the amount of money that we can now save has gone up. Quite dramatically, actually. For those of you that are funding your employer-sponsored plans, know that your limit for 2023 has gone up to $22,500. And if you're over the age of 50, you'll get to put in another $7,500. That's a $30,000 contribution that you can make to your retirement savings. And it doesn't just stop at your 401k plan. IRAs, both Roth and traditional, went up another $500. So that's $6,500 for 2023. Unfortunately, catch-up provision for those over age 50 in a traditional IRA or a Roth did not increase. But hey, there inflation can cut both ways. And as much as we see higher costs of goods and services out there, we're getting rewarded in higher contribution amounts on our retirement savings plans.
Well, and that's a big deal, because if the cost to retire is higher, the importance of saving early becomes that much bigger. And so if you can put more away now, of course, affordability always the challenge. Not everybody can afford to put $30,000 into their 401k. But the opportunity to do that helps to overcome some of the impact that we're feeling from inflation.
Just to pile on that too, the IRS also announced this week that it's changing some of the tax brackets. I'm not sure if they announced exactly what those are, but inflation's affecting that too. So you're going to have to, have higher earnings to reach the various thresholds for the brackets, and the standard deduction also is going up.
Yes, it is. In fact, I've got those numbers, Joel. I'm so glad you asked. For those of you this is big time real money. For those of you that are filing jointly, and if you find yourself right now in the 22% income tax bracket, your bracket went from topping out at $83,000, give or take, to almost $90,000. That's a $6,000 increase in that bracket, which means you're going to stay in that 12% bracket instead of getting pushed up into the 22% bracket. The last time I looked, 10% savings on $6,000 in income is about, that's some real money, $1,200. So for those of you that are keeping track at home, pay attention to those income bracket levels. It's also worth noting that for those individuals that are trying to keep their incomes down so that they can save in a Roth account. A lot of people are restricted in saving in Roth accounts, Joel, because their income might be too high. Those tax bracket income restrictions have also gone up. You're seeing an increase now for your ability to add to a Roth account, topping out at $218,000 to $228,000.
And these are real numbers with real tax benefits. I mean, it's essentially a tax cut because you can earn more money in a lower tax bracket. And I think it's going to be lost in all of the madness that is, the conversation about inflation. But there are some, I think, significant benefits to individuals that are paying taxes, which is just about all of us, that maybe we're not so quick to realize. Mentioned too, we don't know the numbers yet, but likely to see a pretty big jump in the IRMA brackets if you're on Medicare. Mm-hmm. And so, again, real savings for retirees because of inflation. And, again, when we know what those numbers look like, that's certainly something that we can discuss.
Kyle, you had also mentioned the increase in the Social Security cost of living adjustment for those that are collecting. I think it's worth pointing out that as much as that benefit is going up in dollar terms, it's about $140 per month for everybody that is receiving that benefit. I think that for those individuals who recognize that the inflation we're living through right now is temporary, that increase in monthly income from Social Security is going to have some real benefits as inflation continues to taper farther into next year because of these rate increases by the Fed.
So to be clear, plenty of things to be upset about as you look at the inflation picture. I think you go to the grocery store, you fill up your tank, you're going to be upset. But of course, worth pointing out that we get some benefits to that as well. Joel, some economic news this week, quite a bit on housing, more of the same.
More of the same. We're still seeing lots of numbers that say that our economy is relatively healthy, and that's why we have high inflation, and that the effects of what the Fed is seeking are starting to show up, that we're starting to see some slowing in growth. Mm-hmm. So we had numbers from the Federal Reserve on industrial production and capacity utilization. Industrial production keeps going up, but it's a supply demand sort of a thing, right? So the demand continues to rise, and the supply is starting to go down. So the capacity utilization, basically, how much of plants and resources are available to meet demand, that's going up. So it's we've had now several months in a row that we've been over the 50-year average, and that's suggesting that there's inflation in the pipeline, which we know. So, you know, that's happening. But again, it's a sign of economic strength that we're doing that. Housing numbers are showing the slowing of growth. And that's, you know, to be expected because as the Fed raises interest rates, we've seen mortgage rates go up. We're now north of 7% for the average. And so we had numbers on housing starts. And for single family housing, the pace of housing starts is the lowest it's been since May of 2020. For building permits for single family houses, it's the lowest since June of 2020. We also had numbers from the National Association of Realtors on existing home sales, and that's at its lowest pace in a decade. So we're very dramatically seeing some slowdown in housing.
And maybe to be expected, given where interest rates have gone, maybe to be expected, given where prices have gone. You know, a lot of people priced out of the market, a lot of people maybe second-guessing some of those decisions right now. And so, you know, maybe some of the intended consequence. You know, the other one that jumps out to me, the Conference Board survey of leading economic indicators, you know, something that we pay attention to fairly closely as we tend to be more forward-looking, we tend to kind of try to get an understanding of where we're headed. The Conference Board sees the potential for some continued slowdown and, you know, maybe some clear reasons why that would be, right?
Right, yeah. So the Conference Board figures that for the last 6 months through September, that their indicators show that the economy has actually been going down. And that's as opposed to going up in the previous 6 months. And they're saying that, you know, what we saw in September from the numbers, and they collect various data from various government reports and some private reports to come up with this index. And they say that it shows that the weakness in the economy is widespread and that it's deepened in September. And, you know, because we've got high inflation and slowing jobs and rising interest rates and tighter credit, they're actually looking at that and saying, you know, that indicator suggests that we may get into an economic recession where we're actually not growing anymore but shrinking by the end of the year.
So overall this week, I think some similar news in terms of economic data, signs that the economy continues to slow a little bit, the intended consequence of the Fed. The markets don't seem all that shaken by that and have been supported by earnings that are right on track, supported by, I think, a Fed that's made clear that this is kind of the path forward. So again, I think, you know, the message Adam had kind of at the beginning of patience, I think, continues to be key right now, trusting that what you have continues to work, even if it's not working right now. And so I think with that, as always, we enjoy doing the show for you. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.